I'm not here to preach. No, that's a good thing. But I am here to say thank you. Thank you for several things. My name is Paul Coleman, and I represent a ministry called Along the Way. And I was here with my wife 2 years ago. She couldn't join me today, but she gives her love and her greetings as well. But 2 years ago, March 20th, we had our truck and our camper parked in your parking lot, kind of in your alleyway here, and you graciously, what's that? Right over there. Right over there. You put us up for a week, and we are grateful for your hospitality for more than one reason. 2 years ago, I had retired from 40 years of pastoral ministry, and the Lord had put it on our hearts to continue in ministry, but in a whole different way. Most of those 40 years, I pastored churches that had people like you who loved Jesus, but they were in very old, often very old, decrepit buildings. We started with a congregation of 15 people, and the youngest was 55. They just wanted me to preach on Sunday and visit the elderly, which is pretty much all of them. But the Lord grew that church. And in 5 years, that was a healthy church that was reaching its community. And the Lord sent us to Cape Cod, Massachusetts, and we entered a church split that had gone from 120 to about 12 people. And our family of five made it 17. And the Lord turned that church around. And that was our history for 40 years. And so when I retired, we still had a burden for God's church, and to especially help those churches that were struggling, pastors that were just stuck and so overwhelmed with keeping the lights on and keeping the body unified and all of that, that they weren't making any headway. They knew it, but they didn't know where to go. And so the Lord put it on our hearts to start a ministry called Along the Way. And you, New Life Alliance, were one of the first churches, if not the first church, to say, yes, I want to be part of that ministry. And you allowed us to come and share the ministry dream, because it was just a dream back then. I had one church I was working with when we started. Today, I think it's 8. And we are stretching from Fort Lauderdale to Pennsylvania, to the Panhandle, to the West Coast, to north of Jacksonville, and Jacksonville itself. The Lord has us covering the state and beyond. And we thank you, because we love his church. I want to tell you just a second about a couple of these churches that you are part of. Some of you are receiving our newsletter because you are our prayer supporters. And so some of this will be a little bit familiar. But in Port St. Lucie, the first church we started with, just a group of about 6 people from an Easter 100 church. And they have persevered in prayer, and they have been faithful, and they have won people to Christ. And even as their elderly congregation has begun to die off, new people have been brought in. They haven't seen great growth because they've been reaching homeless people. They've been reaching people fresh out of prison, people in need, even as the church is in need. But now the Lord has brought to them a young man that's 30 years old, relatively young, who has a love for the Lord, and he's gifted with guitar and music, and he started outreach programs, and the church is beginning to see new life and beginning to see new hope. In the Panhandle, there was a church that was lukewarm, and now it's hot for Jesus, and they're making a difference in their community. In Jacksonville, a first-time pastor of a dying church that eventually closed is now candidating today, this Sunday, in Pennsylvania, Western PA, and I've been working with him through that very difficult process of the first time he's ever pastored a church, and it closed. And now he is working towards a new ministry and candidating today, and it's been an honor to work with him. In Callahan, a small church that was stuck in a rut now is having a huge impact on its community. It's working with community organizations such as you are and working with other churches. Fort Lauderdale, a church that had a history of division and politicking and just that kind of ugliness, has put that behind it. The chains are gone, and they've been set free of that. And they're discipling new believers and seeing new people come to Christ on a regular basis. Pennsylvania, first time pastor, he's in a tiny, tiny church. It's been stagnant, but now they're beginning to see new life and new growth, and we praise God for that. And in Spring Hill, where my wife and I currently live, the pastor, first time pastor again, of a church that has desperate needs in the body for unity and for sound leadership. And so I have the privilege of being able to work alongside this pastor and their church leaders to bring that about. This is just a bit of what God has been doing in the past 2 years while you've been praying, and some of you have been giving, and we are so, so grateful to you. If you want to be a part of our prayer team, we have well over 200 prayer warriors now behind us, and thank you for that. There is a sign-up sheet in the lobby off to my right as you leave on a little white table. If you want to be a financial supporter, there's a pledge card there. If you want to give a one-time gift, there's an opportunity. But whatever, thank you, thank you, thank you. We love you so much, and we appreciate it. And what a joy it is to worship with you this morning. Now, I've been asked if I would share the Word of God with you this morning. So if you have your Bibles, digital or otherwise, if you would turn to 2 Timothy chapter 2, 2 Timothy 2, verses 1 through 13, it's probably on the screen. You then, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And the things that you have heard me say in the presence of many witnesses to entrust this to reliable people who will also be qualified to teach others. Join with me in suffering like a good soldier of Christ Jesus. No one serving as a soldier gets entangled in civilian affairs, but rather tries to please his commanding officer. Similarly, anyone who competes as an athlete does not receive the victor's crown except by competing according to the rules. The hardworking farmer should be the first to receive a share of the crops. Reflect on what I'm saying, for the Lord will give you insight into this. Remember Jesus Christ, raised from the dead, descended from David. This is my gospel, for which I am suffering even to the point of being chained like a criminal. But God's word is not chained. Therefore, I endure everything for the sake of the elect, that they too may obtain the salvation that is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory. Here is a trustworthy saying. If we died with him, we will also live with him. If we endure, we will also reign with him. And if we disown him, he will also disown us. If we are faithless, he remains faithful, for he cannot disown himself.
Amen, brother. Thank you. God bless the reading of his word. We appreciate you, Paul. Let me take the mic. Come on down.
You may have.
Yeah, all right. Thanks, Finn. Mm-hmm. Yeah, sure you're good. Turn it off. All right.
I appreciate you, brother.
Oh, I appreciate you, my friend. God bless you.
God bless.
Continue to serve well, man. So like Paul, we know many churches up and down, it's been in Florida, but really just up and down the East Coast, and you can see that there's a lot of churches and a lot of pastors that just sometimes they need somebody to come alongside, right? They just need a pastor or somebody to come alongside, encourage them, see from outside the church a different perspective. So we support Paul in doing all of those things, and Lynn as well, and encourage them. Sometimes they pack up that camper and they roll, baby, they roll. And so continue to think of them from time to time, pray for them, support them. Any believers in Jesus in the house today? Oh, I like that. I want to make sure I'm preaching to the right crowd. I want to make sure I'm talking to the right kind of people, you know. Many of us learned from Paul yesterday, too, about the millennial reign of Christ. That was an excellent teaching. There were 16, 17 of us there. Thank you for that as well. You know, whenever you became a believer in Jesus Christ, you were drafted into God's army. What do you think about that statement? We were drafted into the army of God, drafted into his service, drafted and adopted into his family, called to live differently. It has been said that there are no volunteers in God's army. You did not choose me. I chose you. He set the whole rabbinical system upside down, right? you did not choose me. I chose you. And every believer has been given a task, been given a mission. Every believer has a ministry. Is the completing of your assignment, the completing of your mission, an option for you? One of the greatest evangelists of our time, Paul, left Timothy in Ephesus and is writing him this letter. He left him there to encourage him in the establishment of a church and a church fellowship. And the fellowship there was struggling. There were lots of rebel leaders putting down Paul and putting down Timothy, teaching false doctrines about Jesus. Things did not go as expected in Ephesus, like Timothy and Paul wanted it to go. They were misguided and misdirected. Many held corrupt versions of the faith, and they would not change their point of views. They flourished in arguments. They flourished in debates, creating divisions, causing discord, pointing out all of Paul's and Timothy's faults and weaknesses and how oftentimes Jesus was not the Messiah. Rather than working together in unity and trying to find harmony, they gossiped. They quarreled, causing all the dissension in the ranks. And you can imagine Timothy, who was left there in Ephesus, pretty discouraged, pretty downhearted, intimidated. Paul would write, Paul would try to encourage Timothy to stay faithful, stay the course, keep preaching the truth, even if it meant, are you ready? Suffering and death. Join me in my suffering. Keep speaking the truth. Keep talking about Jesus, even if it causes suffering, even if it leads you to death. For this gospel, I'm in chains now. And of course, he uses these three occupations, which we'll kind of go through. I'll try to go through as quick as I can. Described in our passage as a soldier, an athlete, and a farmer. These are pictures of faithful service. We're talking about that in Sunday school, weren't we, Spencer? About faithful service. Example of faithful servants and practical work ethics. And I'm a practical theologian. What does that mean? That means my theology needs to be applicable to my life. The theology, religion, the doctrine needs to be applicable to me. How do I take this theology and apply it to my Monday morning or my Sunday afternoon or my drive home? How do I take this theology and it means something, that it's practical? So no matter what the function, we have to learn, we can learn from these three examples. First one's a soldier. Anyone in here been in the military? Give me a hand up. A little bit of veteran, a little bit of military. Roger, what would a soldier mean to you? What would you say a soldier is? Support their fellow man. Good soldier. All right, let me ask somebody else. Who else? Who else? Keep your hand up. Who else been in the military? James, come on, James. What's a soldier? One who's loyal to his country. Who else was it? Anybody else got one? Oh, way in the back area. There, was that Tina? I can't quite see back there.
I'm from a military family.
Okay.
We went where we were called.
Ah, that's pretty good, right? Some of those things about being a soldier, for certain. Right, for certain. For certain you have to be a team player. It means going wherever you're called, right? Loyalty, submissive to leadership. Ooh. There's structure, there's rank, there's authority. I like the way we kind of land on this, the cause, so we're committed to something bigger than ourselves. With a soldier, you have to be dedicated. There's your next slide. A soldier needs to be dedicated, right? You will endure hardship. As a soldier in the cause of Christ, join me in my suffering. You might be called somewhere else than where you are. Join me in my suffering. There might be opposition that don't like the cause in which you're fighting for. Join me in suffering like a good soldier of Jesus Christ. Soldiers often endure great hardship in their service for their country, separation from family. They face personal danger and death Tremendous oppositions to the cause that they're fighting for. Not everybody believes in democracy. Is that an eye-awakening moment for you around this globe? Not everybody believes in democracy. Not everybody believes in Christianity. Here's your next slide. The very best of soldiers, the elite, are subject to intense circumstances to train them for intense opposition. You think you're undergoing some training? Yeah, you are. And it's going to get tougher. Why? Because the opposition is training also, and they're getting stronger. To function well in extreme situations, dehydration and sleep deprivation, physical punishment, mental fatigue, stress and pressure, risky life-threatening activities that push you to the limits of your capabilities, only to discover you're stronger than you know, you're stronger than you think, you are better than you realize, you are more capable than you ever believed yourself to be. Should Christians be any less willing to suffer hardship for their cause, for the gospel of Christ? Should we not expect to be put to the test, to be challenged, to be sharpened, to be honed in our skills? I know there are times when we need encouragement, when the fight seems long and arduous and difficult. So take some words from your preacher today. Stay the course. Keep the faith. You're stronger than you know, soldier. Is our spiritual walk always a joyride and a pleasure cruise? No, sometimes we're preparing for a fight. We're preparing for a battle. Fighting the good fight means I'm in a fight. I'm fighting the good fight. You're in a fight. As an airborne paratrooper, I was prepared to go all the way. All right, so do I need to share that with you, congregation, what that means? Listen, when I was in basic training, and you learned all the basic stuffs about being a soldier and how to run and how to shoot a weapon and how to make your bed, and you learned how to salute an officer. And when you salute an officer, you say, "Good morning, ma'am. Good morning, sir." And they would say, "Good morning, good morning, good morning." And that's what you learn. You got basic training. But somewhere along the line, if you endeavored to go a little bit deeper, if you endeavored to be elite, if you endeavored to go through a little bit more training, a little bit more testing, if you went through air assault school, jungle warfare school, if you went to airborne school, you learned something on a whole new level that only those that were on that whole new level would even get. You didn't say, "Good morning, sir," anymore. You learned to say, "All the way." And their response was, "And then some." You know what the other folks, when you would say, "All the way," and they weren't part of the elite, you know what they would say? "Good morning." You knew right away who was and who wasn't, who would go deeper with you and who wouldn't go deeper with you. Folks, I'm trying to tell you, you're part of something. You're part of something different. You've been separated out. You've been drafted into God's army. There's a higher calling upon your life. There's a fellowship, a special force that you will. We're separated out, higher calling, and listen, ready? Sometimes it sounds like this. Here we go. All right, out of sight, dynamite. Here we go, airborne. Here we go, all right. Soldier, soldier, can't you see? All my life, God's infantry. Soldier, soldier, don't you know? We gonna walk on the streets of gold. I don't care what the world may say. Jesus, Jesus, the only way. I don't care what the world may do. I'm gonna stand right here with you. Every day and every hour, I'm gonna walk in the Spirit's power. Every day and every night, I'll proclaim Jesus Christ. All right, out of sight, here we go. Airborne, soldier, soldier, can't you see? All my life, God's infantry. Soldier, soldier, don't you know? We gonna walk on the streets of gold. All the way. A soldier's going to have to learn to be focused. There's your next one. You have to be focused. No one serving entangles themselves with all those civilian affairs. What does that even mean? They're going to have to concentrate on the task at hand. To be in service. To claim their victory. Christians need to be careful. They can get distracted by the world very quickly. Money and lust and greed and power and politics, all the civilian things that start to take place, easily entangled. You start marching down the wrong roads, paths that are much easier to march. There's not a lot of testing there. There's not a lot of challenges there. Just easy to walk. They tickle your ears, promising you pleasure. Requires no focus, wandering and aimless, like a lot of the civilians. God has drafted you to be a soldier, to be dedicated, focused, and here's another one, to be devoted. Soldiers are devoted. Devoted to what? Pleasing his commanding officer. Forrest Gump. Forrest Gump. What's your main function in this man's army, Forrest? Do whatever you tell me to do, drill sergeant. You're going to go far in this man's army, Forrest. Pleasing your commanding officer. That's what they desire to do. Should not Christians desire to please their commanding officer? Devoted to our great God and our great King? Created to serve. You've been saved to serve. You've been engifted to serve. You've been authorized to serve. You've been commanded to serve. You must be prepared to serve. And you are needed to serve. Is it any wonder they call it the service? God calls all believers to equip the saints and reach the lost, to minister to the world and in the church. It's not just out there, it's in here too. Timothy needed some help. He needed some encouragement. Service in the body should not be optional for Christians. Failing to serve is a dereliction of your duty. Willful and conscious neglect or delinquency of one's function and obligation. Willfully. Knowing the good you ought to do and not do it is a sin. That's right out of the book of James. Neglect of your duties as a Christian to love, to forgive, to reconcile, to restore, to unify, could result in your spiritual court-martial. God will leave you to your abandoned, wayward, aimless ways. Be devoted. Just dog them. People are hurting and lost and wandering and aimless. They're without fellowship. They're without hope. They're without Christ. How do you serve? You can't say, I'm waiting for the church to do something. The church is waiting for you to do something. And of course, there's the athlete. There's the athlete. Now, this requires some physical presence. You can't win if you don't show up. You can't win if you don't play. You have to participate in the game. You have to show up and run the race. You have to show up and swim the laps. You have to show up and ski the mountain. You have to show up and hit the ball. You have to show up and throw the javelin. You have to show up and jump the hurdles. You have to show up. Athletes are disciplined. That's next to an athlete. Athletes are disciplined. They're always in training. Always in training. They do not stop. They can continue to pursue their goal. That's the next one, I believe. Athletes are disciplined. And they continue to exercise and work on that discipline. Over and over and over and over again, tweaking and perfecting. Listen, some of them trying to shave off 0.001% of time. The Olympics are coming up, aren't they? The Olympics are coming up this summer in Paris. Imagine the discipline involved. Years of training, years. Not this weekend you did something special. Years, folks, disciplined. Day in and day out. Waking up early, running to the track. How many hours hitting the gym? Whether you feel like it or not. All the second place finishers went home. You're still there running, jumping, and swimming. Your dedication and discipline is a priority. Your dedication, mental preparation, physical preparation, even financial preparation, your entire life is set up for these moments, for those moments. The best athletes are obedient. There's your next one. They're obedient. They compete according what? What was the scripture? Who's with me? Come on now. What was the scripture? Athletes must compete according to the rules. You don't have success by accident. They have to play by the rules of the game. Just imagine LeBron throws in ball. Instead of, you know, getting the basketball, you just start walking down the court. But that's not going to work, is it? You're not competing in the right way. That's not, or they tosses the ball in, and then you start kicking it down the. You're in the wrong game, right? You're not playing the right. You're not playing according to those rules, right? And sometimes it's physical. It's tough out there. It's difficult at times. You have to be disciplined and obedient to be able to understand what the rules are. So imagine Tiger Woods sitting over an 8-foot putt. Measures it well, staring it down. A hush falls over the crowd. To win the Masters, an 8-foot putt should break a little from left to right. Wayne Gretzky cross-checks him into the bunker. Oh, he didn't see that coming. Where? Got to compete according to the rules, right? Gretzky's playing an entirely different game than Tiger Woods. Entirely different. Athletes understand the need to abide within the rules if they desire to win. Are Christians any less obligated to abide by the rules? To compete? Well, what are those rules, Pastor? Exactly, what is that? What are the rules? Because it doesn't seem like the world's following many. Certainly not any moral obligations or moral rules. What are some of those? I don't know. It doesn't seem like many people I know even care anymore about following them. See, I kind of thought God was pretty clear. He serve the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, and soul. Love your neighbor as yourself. That's a pretty good rule. Isn't that almost like the golden rule? You know, treat others as you would have others treat you. I mean, that's a pretty good rule. How you doing with that? This is a simple rule. How you doing with that one? How about therefore go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And I will be with you until the end of the age. See, do not be hearers only of the word. Do what it says. Do what it says. Go, love. Go, serve. Go, share. Go, serve and give. Go, love your neighbor as you would want your neighbor to love you. Should I love my neighbor even though he doesn't love me? Yes. Yes. Let's say it that way. Yes. If you want to be a Christ follower, Yes. Just working out our own salvation is going to take us our own lives to be able to do that. Our own lives, our own structure, our own people that are around us, our own little worlds, our own little environment. Forget about what's going on in Australia and Italy and all over the place. Just in your own little world, you dedicate your whole life to just honoring and serving God. And that's what he's asking of you. And your life will serve a bigger purpose than you ever imagined, than you ever thought. You're part of a cause that is so much larger than yourself. But I know this about this. I know this about some athletes. You're going to have to learn some plays. You're going to need to know the playbook. You're going to need to know what the rules are. Because if you start competing outside the rules, you're going to have a little bit of a problem. You're going to run into some moral problems. You're going to run into some problems with fellowship. You're going to run into some problems with God. So compete according to the rules, but know the playbook. Know what God's asking of you and saying to you. You'll need to. I will encourage you to keep on keeping on, and he will provide you with all you need. And this is going to take discipline. It's going to take obedience. And here's your last one for the athlete. It's going to take self-control. Man, I hate that one. I hate that one. Self-control. Self-control, yeah. You mean it all lands on me? Yeah. It all lands on you. What do you mean it lands on me? Yeah, your response, your reactions, your anger, your dependency. It's all you. See, it's between you and God. It's between you and Jesus Christ. Your pastor don't save you. Your spouse don't save you. Your children don't save you. Jesus Christ. It's a relationship that you have between you and Jesus Christ. Work on that relationship. It's going to take self-control to stay focused on Christ. Athletes know the ultimate victory requires great self-control. Self-control gets you up and gets you out and gets you to church. Self-control gets you to work on time. It gets you to the track. It gets you to the pool. It gets you to the field. We all know what we're supposed to do. We all know we're supposed to do it and how to do it. So do it. I'm watching Jerry Rice the other day on an interview about how he was a great wide receiver for the San Francisco 49ers for all those years. And he said, listen, I am not the most talented. There's more talented receivers. I'm not the most talented. I'm not the fastest. There's guys that are faster than me. I'm not even the strongest. There's guys that are stronger than me. But I will outwork you. I will outwork you. You'll go buy your fancy car and go party with the girls. I'm still at the gym working on my game. I'm showing up at church, showing up at Bible study. I'm still working on me and my relationship with God. What are you doing? Where are you at? What are you focused on? Where's all your self-control being pointed to and directed toward? I'm not the fastest. I'm not the youngest. I'm not the most talented. But I keep marching. I'll keep preaching. I'll keep showing up. I keep doing that. You decide you don't want to march anymore at New Life Alliance Church? Guess what? I'm still marching. I keep showing up. You don't want to do Bible study? That's all right. I'm doing a Bible study. You want to skip church? That's fine. I'm here. I'm honoring my God and serving my King. You want to abandon ship? Well, abandon ship. I'm going to stay. I'm going to fight. I'm continuing to work out my salvation for Jesus Christ that he might receive some glory in my life and through my life. What are you busy doing? Shouldn't Christians exercise some type of self-control towards something that is, I don't know, rewarding and profitable and good for you and good for the community and good for the kingdom of God? See, we strive for an imperishable crown. An imperishable crown. Not a gold medal that'll sit on a shelf and collect dust over the next 40 years. Not a ribbon that fades over time. We fight for and run after that which is imperishable. We preach and we teach about the everlasting. That which never fades, never rusts, and forever shines. The crown of eternal life. Are we on the same page? Are we running the same race? Are we competing by the same rules and after the same things concerning the kingdom of God and the advancement of the cause of Jesus Christ? And listen, if a soldier and an athlete wasn't enough, then comes the farmer. Then comes the farmer. Farmers are diligent. They're forethinking, planning, thoughtful, careful. I used to watch my dad prepare seedlings, right? These little containers, right? Little container, you drop a seed in the potting soil, right? He'd have a whole bunch of them, right? And he prepares it. Dad, there's still snow on the ground. And he'd have them ready and put them in an incubator. And getting them prepared for the outside soil, right? I watched my dad do that over and over and over again. He'd create nice warm environments for cucumbers, and tomatoes, and carrots, and broccoli, varieties of lettuce, right? I never liked salad. I didn't like salad. You know, 16, 17, I don't eat salad. You know, I don't eat salad. Until it was, hey, go get some tomatoes and lettuce out of the garden. Get the bib lettuce. You know which one? The bib lettuce. Yeah, get the bib lettuce. Okay. So I'd go out there and hack up a handful of some lettuce and grab a tomato. And we'd chop it up and eat. It ain't anything like you buy in the store, folks. And not anything like you buy in the store. I've never had a tomato that tasted like that. This is lettuce? I can eat some lettuce. This is good. I watched my dad do that. He'd prepare well in advance. I'd love to grow my own food, but I can't find pizza seeds. Listen, I know. I know our Heavenly Father has planted you and prepared you for the real world. He set you in an incubator, watching you, letting you grow, exposing you to just the right temperatures and the right environments. See, farmers are diligent. They're also hardworking. That's right out of the scripture. The hardworking farmer. Farmers are, it's not an easy task, is it? Hardworking farmer. Your whole life revolves around the farm. Your whole life revolves around the farm. Got to feed the pigs, got to collect the eggs, got to milk the cows every day. Sometimes you got to milk the cows twice a day, every 12 hours. Milking the cows. Hey, don't forget, you got to water the fields, got to prepare the fields, plow the fields, you got to sow, you got to nurture, you got to harvest. Oh, and by the way, when you're done with all of that, you got to maintain the equipment that you've been using to try to do all that kind of stuff. So now you got to go back and work on maintaining all the equipment. And you get to wake up tomorrow and do it all over again. Every day. Every day, every day, every day, thank God for the farmer. They feed us and in many ways feed the world around us. Should Christians labor any less for the harvest of the Lord? We admire the farmer. Woo-hoo-hoo! Man, all that work you're doing. And then we're going to go take a nap. The harvest, maybe you know this scripture. Harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are needed. They are few, but they're needed. Laborers are needed. Will you serve? Will you be diligent? Hard work pays off. Hard work's good for the body. It's good for the mind. It's good for the soul. God put Adam in Eden, in the beautiful garden of Eden, and he worked the garden. Before there was ever a sin. Work is not sinful. Work's good for you. It's good for you. Farmers have to be patient. There's your next one. God's timing. Still loading. It might take a minute. Farmers have to be patient. They reap the benefits of their hard work. And that can take a while, can it? Planting a seedling, right? In the ground, water, nurture, sunlight. Long before you ever get a tomato. It's long before you ever get the lettuce to pop up. How long does it take to grow a tomato? Green beans. How long does it take to fatten up a pig? Melinda would say about 59 years. I do not know why I put that in there. But this, our labor is to not be in vain. Keep patient. Patient for God's timing. Put in all the effort. Do all that is required. And wait, right? Work as if everything depends on you. Pray as if everything depends on God. Those are great pictures. Soldiers and athletes and farmers, dedicated like soldiers, disciplined like athletes, diligent, hardworking like farmers. That's what Paul's saying to Timothy, a leader in the church, people in the church. Entrust these words to them, and you keep serving like an athlete, like a soldier, like a farmer. You keep honoring. Here's a trustworthy saying. If we died with him, we'll also live with him. If we endure, we will also reign with him. If we disown him, he will disown us. If we are faithless, he will remain faithful because he cannot disown himself. For those drafted into the fellowship of believers by our Lord and Savior, and you know who you are, we hold these truths to be relevant. We hold these truths to be reliable, God's word. If we believe that he died for our sins, then we will live for him to please our commanding officer. Stay encouraged. If we choose to reject him, he'll leave you to wander your own ways. Should we become discouraged like Timothy along the way? Maybe even question our faith, begin to doubt, begin to question, am I following God? Am I doing? If you start to lose your faith along the way, God remains faithful to you. I don't know how much more encouragement I can give to you than that. God is not abandoning you. He has not left you. He is with you. He is beside you. He's encouraging you. He's leading you. He's healing you. He's teaching you. He's instructing you. And he's saving you. And he's working out the salvation because he wants to do something in you that's magnificent. And he wants to do something through you that goes way beyond what you think you're even capable of. God gets all the glory. God gets all the magnificent praise and adoration that he so richly deserves. Let me pray for you. Father, in this place, this moment, I thank you so very much. You've got some soldiers in here. You've got some athletes in this place, Father. I thank you so very much. You got farmers, Father, that are patient. They know what it is to be patient. They know what it is to be self-controlled. They know what it is to be diligent, Father. They know what it is to serve. I pray, Father, you continue to bind us all together, that we might honor you and serve you well, to bring about the advancement of the kingdom of Jesus Christ. And Father, we'll do our best to be patient, but we're going to need you. We'll do our best to exercise self-control, but we're going to need you. So, Father, we never want to be without you. May we always think of you first, seek you first, and all other things will be added unto our lives. We come before you with gratitude, thankfulness upon our hearts and our lips, in the name that is above all names, the Yeshua, the Christ, the Messiah, Emmanuel, Jesus, in his name. Amen. God bless you guys.
Can the men come forward for an offering? A reminder, after service, there will be elders up here for prayer for any of your needs. And don't forget to pray for Tom and Nancy Wheeler this week in the doghouse. Father, we just thank you for the word that Pastor Stan delivered here. And Father, we just ask that you'll help each one of us to apply to our hearts what we've learned. Help us to be obedient, not entangled with the affairs of this world. Help us to have self-control. Help us to follow the rules. Help us to be diligent and hardworking and patient, Father. And Father, we just thank you for all the people that give here. We thank you for blessing our church financially, and just help us as leaders to be good stewards of the money that you've entrusted with us here. And we thank you, God, in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Oh, yeah. Did you feel it? Do you feel it? Yeah. All right, would you stand with me, church, please? Thank you so very much. I want to remind everyone, Les Wilson Memorial Service this Saturday coming up. So inviting the entire church to come. 11 a.m. right here, so feel free to come and participate. We could use the strength of the church rallying around family and the kids and each other. I miss less already. Blessed is the one who does not walk in step with the wicked, or stand in the way that the sinners take, or sit in the company of mockers, but whose delight is in the law of the Lord and who meditates on his law day and night. That person is like a tree planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in season and whose leaf does not wither. For whatever they do, prospers. Go, prosper, serve your God. God bless you.